Welcome to the Sacred Body Podcast, where we explore the embodiment of belonging and the journey to get there. The topics we'll focus on primarily are food, birth, sex, and boundaries. And I'm your host, Stacey Ramsauer. Thank you for joining us today on the Sacred Body Podcast. And today I am very, very honored to be talking to Bonghan Kim, who is an artist and a mother, among other things. She has her BFA in painting and printmaking. She's had her own jewelry design business and is very involved in the healing arts, dance, and most recently Chinese medicine. Bonghan is someone that I was introduced to on social media, on Instagram. Most of the first pieces of your art that I saw were about the body as vessel, postpartum body as vessel. And I was struck immediately, sort of overwhelmingly, by the rawness of your pieces, and very textured and really layered and full of story and almost like this incredibly deep influence from mythology and ancestral medicine in quote unquote a simple drawing. And I had to know you, I had to talk to you. And so we've been developing a kind of relationship for a little while now, and I'm really honored to have your voice here. Bonghan, thank you so much for making time.
Thank you. I'm like, isn't this really happening? Am I recording a podcast?
You are.
Well, thank you for that intro, Stacey. You know, I listen to podcasts and I hear these intros and bios and I hear the other person going like, thank you. And I'm actually feeling that thank you. Oh, that sounds like, is that me really?
Yeah, I had my most recent conversation with a friend. He was struck by how good it felt to be given the mic, so to speak. And that's a big part of this. I think that it's such a life-affirming process to get to tell our stories and to be heard and to be asked thoughtful questions about our journey. And so, not to toot my own horn, that's my intention. It's my intention to ask thoughtful questions, but it's also easier when the people that I'm speaking to are ones I deeply admire. So I am in deep admiration of what I perceive, honestly. And I know there's a limitation to social media. However, you, in my perception, have managed to really balance vulnerability and grace. In how you share, it doesn't feel gratuitous, but like a tether for anyone experiencing the complexity of the motherhood journey, the womanhood journey, the artist's journey. Mm-hmm. And I really want to honor that as something specific to your story, the undeniable vein of artistry and your impulse to share through visual storytelling.
Wow. I love all the words just wove together. I'm like, I'm glad this is actually being recorded. I don't think I could have said it better myself. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I think it's just wonderful you have a podcast. I'm experiencing you hosting this thing. I'm just like, oh, this is a natural gift of yours. I love this gift of conversation. And it's making me right now feel into, it's just kind of cool to sit back and reflect, because I just think that especially as mothers, when you hit the pavement running, you have to create your own time to be able to reflect on things as they're sort of happening. And so many things happen. And so, you know, I'm just feeling into how wonderful it is right now to sit with you and talk about some of these things and reflect on these things. That matter, because honestly my artwork right now is sitting in a box somewhere. And I have to consciously sort of because now my toddler's 3 and going through this difficult divorce and a whole thing right now and healing, it can feel like the art is in the back burner, you know, a lot of the daily life stuff. And so I do think one of the gifts of social media feels like is, I wouldn't say you brand yourself, and that's one way of looking at it, but I feel like it gave me a container and platform to put myself together when I really felt like I was falling apart in ways, you know, really those pieces of paper, some of them quite small and some of them I spent very little time on, and I could take a picture and put it on social media and write something. Maybe I had 10 minutes to write something. Maybe I had I don't know, you know, she was napping and I'd be in bed writing something on my phone. But it gave me moments of pause to just really feel into the depth of this experience in which I was being deconstructed, in which my life was I guess the word is composting, but sort of that death, in the midst of the death and in the midst of that new rebirth, which I still feel like it's continually happening, never really stops. So I will give kudos to social media for that, including being connected to people like you, because I think we often spend time slamming it and saying, I spent too much time on it, or, but on the other end of it is, you know, I saw the power of it, that it connected me to such a powerful birth, art, amazing healing communities that I'm still connected to, you know, that I've met so many people in real life, and we still communicate, and it's been a real gift.
Well, yeah. And I think there's something really useful to examine in social media, the internet, all of it, as we become more technologically nuanced, right? There's like subtler and subtler ways that technology comes into our life and our daily existence. It's all an opportunity to figure out the healthiest way to relate to each other, to ourselves. Like, here's this new tool. How am I going to use it? And I know you'll vibe with this. I say this in every setting, regardless of whether or not people are Ani DeFranco fans, but I'm just going to guess that you are. And one of my favorite lyrics of hers is, every tool is a weapon if you hold it right. And Instagram is a tool. It can be super destructive, self-destructive or outwardly destructive, and it's also a tool. And I fully agree with you saying that it's a means of connecting. I mean, I would never have found several of my teachers, like real teachers, were it not for social media. And you and I might not be having this conversation, or it would have taken us like a decade to meet. I believe in that. I feel like somehow we would have known each other, but it's this interesting notion of like whatever we're relating to, we have the choice in how we relate to it. And, you know, something like...
Absolutely. Oh, I love that Ani DeFranco quote. Wow, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. So true. I mean, I often think of this kind of... you know, the evolution of the human species and how we have to evolve with technology and sort of thinking a lot about, not that I know that much about neurology, but I'm kind of thinking about what it takes to actually build that extra intention and awareness in order to have healthy relationship with technology, in order to have healthy relationship with each other, in order to have, I mean, I just feel like, does technology stop it? Does technology aid it? And again, it just seems like, just like that Ani DeFranco quote you just said, it feels like intention behind it feels really important. Looking at how we use those platforms, and certainly for me, with my artwork and my inner desire to really express myself during a time of really feeling, I would say, the deepest, sometimes the darkest, most internal aspects of my journey, it seemed like a great medium to express it. because it had enough distance for me, and those little square boxes just felt like enough exposure, you know, just enough words, just enough whatever, and just enough feedback from just the right people. I felt like really amazing people would just sort of comment, I got connected, that I felt affirmation, like, yeah, you know, this is real. Like, what I'm going through is real. This is really speaking to all these really amazing people. And not that that could be enough to change my journey or help me shift, but it just gave me enough sort of, I feel like, juice sometimes.
Yeah.
To help me something, the next step or the next piece of artwork or something. It added to something.
Well, I know you didn't use this word explicitly, but I've been participating in monthly grief rituals. And the single most important component of that ritual is witnessing, is being in group space where you can say what longs to be said, share what needs to be shared, and there's a witness there for you just allowing this to exist in time and space. This is real. And there's something really lovely about that element of social media. You know, I think there is, we often run the risk of overexposure, but there is also something really lovely to, you know, there's a container of like-minded people here. I can kind of pick and choose the audience, and it's not like going through months and months of organizing a show to put everything together in a curated manner and then receive critical feedback. It's like, I don't need criticism. I'm not here for any other reason than just to be here. And I want that validated and affirmed that I'm here. And I imagine that's a huge part of the postpartum journey.
Yes. And, you know, the grief piece, you know, and you're talking about circling. Yeah, I mean, well, there's nothing like actually being in the presence of people, right, when you're doing that. I mean, sure. You're doing a circle. And what it made me think of is in Vermont, when I lived there, I think in my 30s for about 6 years, very pivotal time in my life, very connected to nature, to my own body, to my own soma, I would hold women's circles, you know, and it became just sort of my internal desire to really connect and circle. And for sure, my Los Angeles journey the last 5 years has been really missing that piece. And I called it a women's circle in Santa Monica, where I was living with my ex-husband and my child and our child. And still, I felt like there was a piece missing, especially when I wanted a depth of something that needed to be expressed. And even though, you know, the artwork, I felt like it really, my artwork reflects that. But as you're saying grief ritual, I'm like, oh my God, that is, I feel like in my bones, I deeply long for that, you know? And sometimes I did feel like maybe the art was a little dark. You know, I had a little inner critic saying, this is a little too dark to share, or maybe this is going to make you seem like you're going through postpartum depression, whatever that means. You know, I didn't, but again, I felt like the affirmation of people I was being connected to by exposing my work that way felt very affirming. I mean, people like you, people like Rochelle, you know, just people like Kimberly Ann Johnson, people just like different, really, you know, people of depth who had experienced all different kinds of things in life, and especially through motherhood. I was like, oh, okay. So I don't remember actually the first post, or I don't remember exactly how it all happened, but I just do remember the feelings of like, I have to keep going. Like, this is actually helping me sort of start to save my own life in a way, like step back and sort of save my own life.
Yeah.
I would say.
Well, it's very personal. It's very ancestral. It seems, appears like, you know, even in the capturing of your own physical body through an image, it's deeply personal, and I think it's striking that there is, can be such a universality in that, you know, sometimes, again, with the platform of social media or even in dialogue with friends, it's almost like the fear, the inner critic of like, is this too much? Is this too dark? Like, my darkness is certainly darker than the general darkness. I don't know, just the conversation that we inevitably have with ourselves. And I do also want to acknowledge, I remember one of your posts was an acknowledgement of someone like asking if you were okay based on what you were sharing. So right. There's that aspect of it too. And how did that impact your willingness and want to continue sharing, or what you felt like the value of your artwork became after that?
Yeah, you know, and I'm a Scorpio with a lot of Scorpio in my charts. I'm super sensitive, and yet I have to expose the darkness. So it's such a fine line, and I think especially postpartum, one is so raw and so open. I mean, the insides are your exoskeleton, and you know, it's like, oh, at least we felt this, like, this compulsion again to share these aspects of my journey that felt very mythological, that felt very universal, that felt very ancestral. And in my bones, I knew I wasn't the only one. And yet it also felt the most, it felt very exposing, you know? So but like we were saying, it feels like always a constant balancing act with social media or whatever you want to, you know, however you want to share your work. But yeah, those responses in terms of people asking me, are you okay? Or like DMs in my inbox, I'm sure I had a fair few of them, and I had to explain myself a few times and not get annoyed. And yeah, it brought up for me, it would make me ask and sit back, like, am I okay? Like, am I really okay? Like, do I need to go see a therapist in the regular? Do I need something? Never went to the point of like asking myself if I needed meds, Western meds specifically, but because of the relationship I was in with my ex-husband, and because of the lack of support at times, because of all this, my family being, you know, back in the East Coast, everything, the community more back east than here, you know, like so many women's postpartum stories, it did have me pause and ask that question, am I okay, or is this a larger reflection of what's going on around me? And when the answer sort of, I would sit with it as much as I could and feel into it and sort of observe my mom's circles, and I just really realized it was more of a, felt like it was a real collective thing, you know. Yeah. I felt like it was, that was a big part of it, and I could see it and I could feel it, you know. And the ancestral pieces too, it wasn't like I was consciously thinking about, oh, I need to make work about my mother, about my mother's mothers. And I just almost felt like they would just sort of come to me, mm-hmm. you know, in interesting ways. Because I think the motherhood experience also, you can't help but sort of have your DNA exposed in the future, in the process of your whole insides coming out. It's almost like you are birthing your own DNA. It's almost just like it comes out through your child, obviously birthing your own DNA. But it's almost like, how am I going to say it? I mean, I did feel that in the birthing tub when Sequoia came out. It felt like I was giving birth to my great-grandmother in some aspect. I don't know how to describe that because it wasn't a cognitive thing, but it was almost like, felt like, yeah, I just felt like lineage was coming out. The animal world was coming out through my body. Just felt like everything was coming out through my pussy. And it was like, whoa, this is so much. You know, it's just not even, it's emotional. I feel emotional just thinking about it. I'm thinking that could be a whole body of artwork in terms of what comes out of the pussy and DNA and cords. And,
totally.
But, yeah, and then all of a sudden you're just your mother, and you are this lifeline for this being, you know. And it's just so wild. So I know what it was. I remember taking Kimberly Ann Johnson's Forging a Feminine Path, and I think Sequoia was maybe 4 or 5 months old, and I was just starting to make artwork, and she found me on Instagram as well. And you know, that course, actually that little container of 1 month or whatever it was, to be able to sit with myself, make artwork during her nap times, really helped me. Having a container during that time to actually reflect, even though it was really small, but just a 1 month course, a little container, then I could actually start to piece together all these things that swim, and I just really realized that probably for a lot of postpartum moms, you just don't give yourself that time, and when you have time off, you kind of just want to rest, right? You just kind of don't want to deal, which is absolutely valid. But having a little bit of a container during the time that I could have it and when I was ready for it really helped me. Now that I'm thinking back.
Well, it's so interesting to hear you say that. And I've initiated a couple of moms groups at different times and even had a little bit of conflict in a personal relationship where my intention was to create space for postpartum people without children. Like, where it could be some time focused on you.
Right.
And it's of course extremely challenging because childcare, and they're just what it comes down to, I think, is this lack of cultural context for the level of care that a new family requires, not only deserves, but truly requires. And to have the capacity to separate oneself from the existence of the new child, like, you can't do that fully, of course, but in order to integrate to whatever degree you're going to integrate, in order to evolve, when you have just been blasted open and your DNA is irreparably transformed, like, I do think that there has to be what you were describing, this container. It doesn't have to be 18 hours a week. It doesn't have to be this like big ordeal, but there has to be some contained space where you can put yourself back together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it could look so different for, I would imagine, you know, other moms, because maybe they can't take an online course.
Yeah.
Maybe. And it could just be even a simple thing like one other friend that you can call, or Marco Polo, or FaceTime, or melt down to. And I just remember one time, way before I became a mom, in Vermont, there was a friend of mine with two kids at the time. They were maybe 5 and 10 or something. And we're having a glass of wine together. The kids were asleep. And I had no idea what it was like to be a mother. All I knew was I wanted to be one. So I was asking her questions. And she was saying, you know what really helped me? And this still stays with me. I remember what Mary Beth was saying. She was saying, it helps me to call my girlfriend so-and-so, because I have some really deep shit that comes up for me. Like, I want to throw my son out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to fucking run away from this family. Like, I want to. At the time, I was like maybe early 30s. I just had no idea. And I heard her, and it didn't jar me. I just held it. And I remember walking out really fascinated, because she, to me, was a very vibrant, alive woman who happened to be a mother. And she was really exposing to me, which really stayed with me, is that she needed to have someone hold her shadows, you know, to not keep it in. And that allowed her to feel sane, that allowed her to be seen, that allowed her to feel, and thankfully for her, she never shamed herself. She just knew she just needed to say it. You say it, and you don't do it, just say it. You're like, oh, okay. You know, and that's happened to me many, many, many times. We got this done, and then you keep going. Or I can't, and then just like, I remember that when she told me that, and it's been one of the deepest, I think, sort of wisdoms around motherhood that stayed with me, that came early on, around the shadow, what happens and what happens for us.
Well, and it's such, it's like the quintessential feminine process,
right?
Which has to be all inclusive, otherwise it's not transformative.
No, and how many, I feel like you're going through your pregnancy journey. I see it through Instagram in its own way, and you're a somatic sexual healer, and you're an educator, so I just feel like, I go like, oh, she's so well, she's like, she knows, but I think about sort of how many ideals I think I had about pregnancy and motherhood and all these things, and a lot of my friends who are super well-educated, super smart women, super everything, emotionally intelligent, still go like, their postpartum journey, they're like, why did I think that this is going to be so great?
Yeah.
Or even like, I'm afraid to ask this question, but why the fuck did I become a mom? And you know, when I hear that from them, I don't hold it like you know, there's something
right.
wrong with them
right.
or I just go like, I get it. I mean, we are supposed to have these moments and times where we have to ask that question, because if your life has been irreparably changed and shifted and you yourself are going through the composting rebirth process, how can those questions not come up? So the fact that, you know, in culture, society, we don't hold space for that sort of line of questioning, obviously. We don't have mythologies around it. We don't have rituals around it. You have to create them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we can. I mean, we can. We're not disempowered that way, but I think we have to not have enough of each other to be able to see each other and hold each other in that way. You know?
That,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
The reflection and the shared space for dialogue, and it's a titled change at this point in time. Like, there's
yeah.
no major world religion on the planet currently that holds that this is the most complex, the most vital, the most turbulent thing. It's all just like, this is your function. This is a gift. This and it's also, you know, there's in such a dominance-oriented global culture, there's very little room for contradiction, which is inherent to all life on the planet. The contradiction of like, I don't know why the fuck I became a mother. I don't know why I thought this was going to be great, does not negate the fact that like, I'm deeply joyful when I look
right.
at my child.
Absolutely. And I think that just speaks to this underlying, well, I wouldn't say inability, but I mean, just kind of just point with like everything else pointing to where the hierarchy, patriarchy is just, it doesn't support humanity. You know, that we are complex beings. And I still do believe that the very simple thing of how we support mothers or how we don't support mothers directly reflects how we behave with Mother Earth and,
mm-hmm.
and the cycles of life. And, you know, I think when I, you know, it's more and more clear to me as I live this mother's life, that's who we are. You know, the way that we do treat caregivers and mothers, so it's so points to so many things in life, you know, and it's so clear to me. I think I could have said that before kind of in my maiden years, but not really. You know, I definitely caring for a child, it just shifts everything cellularly.
In
so sometimes too with the artwork, I feel like there are images that want to come through that you know, needs to express this. I mean, I'm just thinking about like my artworking process, and that's when some of that kind of ancestral stuff would kind of weave in. You know, like I remember one time when it was about my grandmother, who I then heard had 11 children, but I knew that only 5 lived, so that means 6 died.
Wow.
You know, I was at some point in postpartum, I forget how old Sequoia was, where I just could really tap into that level of grief
mm-hmm.
that she was feeling, you know, and it really just made me reflect on that, just having been someone who had an abortion when I was 30, had also had a miscarriage, and had friends lose children at different stages and birth through birth and everything. So I just felt this universality in terms of, I guess also how much grief we hold as mothers,
mm-hmm.
along with the joy in caring for children. And then that grief activation is so, so deep, you know. And for me, it came out through the illustration of my grandmother bearing 5 children or 6 children, who I didn't know their names or their stories specifically, but I just could feel it, you know.
And that's something so crucial, that trust. I spoke about this with a previous guest and friend, the element of, I know this in my body cognitively, I can't explain to you why, but here it is. And I think that is, I think every human being has access to that because of womb gestation. And there's something extremely potent about being a person with a womb. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like your experience of viscerally giving birth to your great grandmother. And memory, and that's, again, such a huge thread in the artwork that really caught me at a very particular time, healing from a miscarriage and not understanding what was going to happen and whether or not I was okay with that. And I'm adopted. And so it put everything in a different light of, you know, gestationally what we absorb and even the biological fact of being an egg in your grandmother's womb. And
yes. So it's, oh.
I know, it's like, I feel the flurry.
It's like this, you can have a whole podcast just based on that.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote about it in that particular post because I had done a psilocybin journey with a friend of mine who had studied plant medicine, and I'm not that much into substances, but when I decided to do psilocybin, I wanted to do it with a teacher.
Yeah.
And with an intention. And this is maybe a year before, or maybe half a year before I conceived. And I had very specific questions for my ancestors during that journey. And at one particular junction, I very, very much brought in the question of like the purpose of my life. What is it they wanted from me? And the answer I got very clearly, which then I was like, oh, this is why I made the vessel series, was that word vessel came in, but it was like, you are our feeling vessel. And all we really need you to do is feel everything. And when you feel everything, it's all we need. All we need. And so I was looking for more. I was like, do you want me to do something? Like, how do you feel about my artwork? My Chinese medicine? Do you want me to use needles and herbs? And no, I had all these questions. Do you want me to stay in California? What's up with this relationship? But I knew that it wasn't working much. And they were just like, it was like, that was blank. But they just went right into my body. And it was like, you're the vessel. We want you to feel and feel everything. Don't negate anything. Let those feelings flow. Let it come through you. And that's our great joy, because we did not get to fully feel or express ourselves, you know? And like, yes. That just like, and I think I must have spent the next like 2 hours of the journey just crying and weeping and weeping and weeping. Cause it just, cause it then that tapped me into my womb and tapped me into all the feelings that I was holding. And I think that I would project, and I project other people's experiences in this, but I think that it would be very scary to do that. I could feel my own fears around that sometimes, and I definitely could feel my maiden feeling that, because the level of, I would say in my body, the level of grief that I was holding, my vessel was holding, felt really like I couldn't face it. And in some ways, I guess I can say, I put these pieces together right now after talking to you, having my child or birthing my child and raising her, I think something comes out with the uterus, you know, something comes out, not just the child, but all those stories, all those. And I don't think you have to birth to have those stories be tapped into, because I feel like they also live in other parts of our bodies, obviously cellularly. I think womb is specific, but I think that for birthing women, there is something, I mean, I just feel like it can be very profound healing, and you don't need to know all the stories, you don't need to know, but there can be so much wisdom and so much depth of feeling that can come through. And I mean, that's what I felt. But when it was just that message of like, all you need to do is feel. It was like, that's it.
And there's something really, I'm glad you acknowledge that this power is not limited to giving birth to a human child. It's cellularly inherent in all human beings, and there's something about I think it's almost inevitable. I think this coming out, this emergence of the grief, the stories, the memories is inevitable. And when we, as we continue to fortify this container, this cultural container of reverence for how wise the body is, how much the body stores, then perhaps some of our revelations won't have to be so traumatic. Like whether it's through birth or a sexual relationship or, you know, the massive amount of trauma that most girls experience when they start menstruating. Like perhaps that's what this work is all for. We can have these revelations in a more joyful way and not have to spend so much time getting to the joy, searching for the joy.
Right. Yes. I agree. It doesn't, you know, I feel like we put off the joy when we don't really actually just let ourselves feel it, you know, just start going into feeling it. And at least in my experience, you know, it's not solid. It just keeps unfolding, just like a flower's petals. Mm. And you know, the grief changes and shifts and takes different forms. And other things come out, other images, other visions. And I think what a lot of us do is we avoid it. I mean, I'm just saying I understand that too. We don't want to feel it. And I feel like a lot of the culture of how motherhood is, the way that we do support motherhood in this culture and society in terms of the artifice, has so much to do with that, has so much to do with not wanting to look at all of the other stuff, all the other, the actual death, the actual rebirth, the actual things that we hold, our ancestral trauma, the lineage things, all the wisdom that can come through, all the healings that can come through, you know, kind of puts women and mothers in a certain place.
And something that I think is so special about the artwork that you've created, that you continue to create, and why artistry is so essential in the healing journey is I was reflecting on this today. It's part of a course that I lead. It's based on the elements and a little more loosely based on the chakras and our development, our gradual development as beings. And to me, there's like the ultimate trauma is being told that our perception of something, anything, is not true. What you're experiencing, what you're seeing, is not what you think, is not how you're experiencing it. And I mean, motherhood, it's like, no, this is actually the experience I'm having. And culturally, there's no validation of that, or very little, or, you know, slow to get there. And so I'm curious, because of this kind of, you know, undeniable rupture, and I don't use that word to be scary, but the rupture of self that occurs when we give birth, how that has, because you've always been an artist and you've always been a healer, how your process of creating art, experiencing the gift of your art, and your approach to healing, whether if you're sharing it with others or your own process, was shifted by just like this blast open.
Oh yeah. I mean, what kind of words can I put to that?
I know.
It feels accurate.
Well, I almost want to make this a visual share, because it's like, can you give me an aesthetic response to this question?
Like I should do some interpretive dance. I feel like I need to dance that.
Yeah.
I think that this is a truthful thing to say for myself. You know, all the trainings that I did in painting and printmaking and sculpture and photography and installation art and all the years at Cooper Union when I was 17 to 21 years old, so young.
Yeah.
And I've always been an artist. You know, I had always, I never really knew why I was making art in some way, you know, I was good at doing it. And I went through many periods in my, those young years into my 20s and 30s even, when I didn't really know the purpose of my art. I can't say for anyone else, my art. And I feel like birthing postpartum, for me, I, you know, maybe the term is shamanic art. I don't know the term. I don't think about labeling it really. It felt like the the purpose of my creativity in terms of like drawing, painting, visual images became coalesced for me why I was doing what I need to do with artwork. And again, that could shift as I'm going through my life, but that's how I feel right now, where the images that want to come through is very much body-based, specifically very much woman body-based, specifically, you know, specifically actually very much about the yoni, very much about reproduction, very much about the genitals, very much about also just feels like it's about biology. You know, I remember years ago in college, I would paint cells, and I didn't really know why I was doing that. I just really liked cells, cellular structures and biological images like flagellas and mycelium and all that kind of stuff. And now I, you know, it's interesting to make correlations. There's like a reason why. You know, I feel like the experience of my life is giving my art this kind of, you know, I would say real feeling. And not to diminish that young Banghan who was doing it, but it just comes more from less having to do a project or less having to do a body of work, but actually just having to express something that wants to be on paper or that wants to be on a wall or that wants to be in a journal or something. So, I think in that way it shifted, where I feel like the art is really serving something inside of me that just needs to come out. Whereas before, it really did feel like it was like external, sort of, you gotta make some art, you gotta put it on the website, you gotta have a show, you gotta do this, and not so much anymore. I mean, not that, because there's no shows lined up as far as I know right now, or anything that I'm selling, although I will be producing an online store for my prints, but you know, I feel like it's more tapped into my inner world that wants to come out.
And an extension of that question, how has your sexuality transformed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just telling this to someone very recently. It's a really good question because, you know, I was kind of going like, you know, when I have sex these days, I actually, whether self-pleasuring with a partner, I actually feel, and I was really embarrassed to say it, because I'm like, oh, I'm a woman in my 40s, whatever. Like, I should have experienced everything by now. But I'm like, I feel like I'm actually having sex. I feel more like myself having sex. I feel like my soul is having sex.
Well, and wouldn't that just change totally the experience? Like, you could have done 200 sex acts, air quotes, but like, if you're yourself, if you're in your body, then it's all gonna be different.
Yeah, and I know I have trauma to work through. I know that I have stuff. I don't know any single woman really.
Yeah.
If I have sexual trauma, I definitely have that, and I'm about to, actually, I ordered a G-spot toy. I'm happy to have a podcast I can talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just going to my own G-spot, you know, healing, and I was referred this toy, so I'm going to get a delivery from Germany, and I, you know, was like, just being able to even just step into that, talk about it, and be very liberated in terms of, like, I am just, like, ready to explore, just shows me, I'm like, oh, okay, I was not ready for that before, you know, and we can't make this thing happen, you know, but I certainly think if we're going to loop it back to birth and motherhood, I feel like that was an opportunity. Well, first, yeah, like your insides come out, like it's like a huge event in your life, right? It could either be something that's so completely traumatic, you just want to like stuff it underneath there and be like, okay, I want everything to go back to the way it used to be, bounce back.
Yeah.
Or it's like, fuck, like everything came out, like who am I now? Like who am I really now? And let it just be a mess for a while and find the containment that's really you and actually allow yourself to see through that portal and that lens how messed up this culture is, how messed up so many other messages are, how messed up, and if we don't just run towards going back to the old normal, and we actually allow ourselves to see the mess and the chaos. I mean, I think that for me actually helped me to piece, sort of be my true sexual self, actually, mm-hmm. is helping me to be my true sexual self. And this is happening, I would say, maybe later on in life in some people's chronology, but I'm like, you know what? This is my story. It's happening for me this way, you know?
And to have the gift of having any amount of containment for the process, whatever that may be, because it's different for everybody, mm-hmm. I think allows the most crucial piece of this, which is to reintegrate what feels true and helpful to move forward, because it's like you've been blasted into a million pieces.
Right.
And like you said, I think it's quite common and quite normal, you know, whatever that means, to come through this process at the other side and just feel like so overexposed and frazzled that you just like frantically grab everything and like put it back together as close to where it was before as possible.
Yes.
And kind of like just get on with it.
Yes.
I mean, it's every single human has done that after following a major life event at least once, right? But there's something unique, I think, to the birthing experience where you now actually have different DNA in your body, like the remnants of this new creature exists in you to reorient you to the way things are. And just what an incredible
about that kind of chimera, right? The cells that come from your kid into you.
It's so incredible.
I gotta write these things down. These new pieces.
It's all recorded. I got you. I cannot wait to see these new pieces, and I cannot wait to see your online store. And as soon as that is available, please share, and I'll share far and wide. And at this point, I want a follow-up conversation about some of these other elements of embodiment postpartum, and just embodiment as a female on a healing path, because that's
it's so rich, like a treasure box that keeps on unfolding.
I'm really grateful for your perspective and your willingness to share. As I've already acknowledged before we started recording, I catch myself all the time, in spite of my passion for birth and my fascination and wonderment with pregnancy and the body, there is just nothing like walking in this body. There's no preparation for it whatsoever. So in hearing you speak, I feel so connected and excited, and I know that I just can't even anticipate what's in store for me. So thank you for sharing your wisdom, and I look forward to talking again after I've crossed that threshold.
Wow, I can't wait to, I can wait, but I'll just be so excited to speak to you then. But in the meantime, thank you so much for this. It's gotten me activated, thinking and reflecting on things.
Good.
And I want to say excited. I don't think that's an appropriate word, but I am in wonderment about your journey, because it really does feel like every pregnancy, every woman, it is like it's your own thing. It's your own you're the one walking it, you're the one breathing it, you're the one carrying the soul. It's like so individual. Yeah, I can't wait to hear about it. After.
Well, I will post links to your Instagram account for people to find you and follow. And is there any other information that you want to share with folks?
No, just that I'll be launching launching my personal online store website through my name, bangpankim.com. It'll just start with jewelry first.
Awesome.
And then I'll be making an extra gallery aspect for prints or for, maybe I shouldn't announce it, but I will. I'm going to be making like a deck of cards.
Oh, wonderful.
Likely with my artwork. And I'll be writing just channeled wisdom for each image. So people can use that for their own drawings and desires.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of the Sacred Body Podcast. I look forward to joining you again. And if you want to learn more about today's episode, please visit stacyramsauer.com. You can leave your comments, share far and wide, and we'll see you next time.